Welcome to Tremendous Talk. We got the industry tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Hey guys, I'm Law.
And I'm Ash, and this is a Tremendous Talk podcast.
Each week, join us as we guide you through the realms of Hollywood and beyond while we speak to industry professionals in the spotlight.
So grab a boba tea and leave your shoes at the door. Welcome to Tremendous Talk!
Bum, bum, bum. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Tremendous Talk. So excited to for a kind of a part two to the episodes all about the movie The Prank, which was out in theaters on March 15th. And this week on the episode, we're sitting down for a chat with Ramona Young, a star from the movie The Prank.
The Prank follows Ben and his slacker friend Tanner, who is played by Ramona Young, as they play a prank on their high school physics professor when she fails them on a test. Womp womp. Then they teach their demanding instructor a lesson by falsely accusing her of the murder of a missing student on social media.
Murder. I know. An intriguing log line for a film, if I do say so myself. Mm-hmm. And we watched it. We enjoyed it. But, you know, you may recognize Ramona, actually, because she is kind of all over the place. She was in her starring role as Eleanor in Mindy Kaling's People's Choice Award-winning Netflix series Never Have I Ever, a favorite of ours. She's in Blockers, Santa Clarita Diet, which is, I believe, a personal favorite of yours, Ash.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, of course. And DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And she most recently voiced characters in DreamWorks' Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, and Jordan Peele's Wendell and Wild animated comedy on Netflix.
We love a good Jordan Peele over here. We love it. We love it. We are so excited to chat with Ramona and just dive in with her on her journey to The Prank and all that she's done. So sit back, relax, and let's get this conversation started.
And don't forget, The Prank is out in theaters March 15th. Go check it out.
Woohoo! Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Ramona, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. My name is Ash, this is Law, and we are hosts of the Tremendous Talk podcast.
Ooh.
Awesome. So we wanted to just get a little fun speed route in first and get everybody all warmed up. So just to kick it off, what's your go-to boba order?
Ooh, a Thai tea with boba, probably, or taro milk.
Oh, delicious. Okay, and current show you're binging right now?
Oh, I just finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith, actually, on Amazon, and I'm looking for my next thing. So if you have suggestions.
Oh, amazing.
Did you love it? Did you watch it?
I haven't even started it. I'm a big Donald Glover and Maya Eskrin fan, and I'm a bad fan at that for not starting it, but I will get to it.
I think I'm avoiding watching it until I can hole myself into a room and binge watch it for like 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
Okay, and then last on our speed round, what subject would you teach in school if you were a Mrs. Wheeler?
If I were Mrs. Wheeler, probably art, because it's the easiest.
Amazing. I love it.
Amazing. Well, we're so excited. I mean, the prank was so delightful to watch. I loved all the twists. Rita Moreno, obviously a legend. Keith David, a legend. But the tone was really fun for me, because it was like, it's like funny, but then there's these like horror thriller elements. And I was wondering, just like working with Maureen, how was that tone like interpreted to you and like getting that performance out of you?
Yeah. So the script was like really funny and crazy things happen in the film. Maureen was so good at letting us play and, you know, making sure we felt safe to play and improvise and work with the script. But also she was really good at like keeping us grounded so that it wasn't like a cartoon and it felt believable under these crazy circumstances.
My favorite line delivery, it happens early in the movie, is when you go, "Human shit, bro, human shit." I love that line. Was that improv? Because I know the bloopers show a lot of like just fun on set, but was that some from your dome?
Yeah, that was one of the many moments where Maureen let us, you know, just riff and play. She was just like, come up with different pranks. And I was like, human shit.
So good. So good and diabolical at the same time.
Diabolical. With that, I mean, the bloopers are part of my favorite part of them. It just like expanded so much of the world for me in terms of like the chemistry on set. Do you have a favorite moment of like just an improvised whatever it may be, or just like a gem that happened on set that didn't necessarily make it on cam?
Gosh, there's honestly so many, and making the movie was probably like just as fun and exciting as like watching it. Like it was really just a great cast and team of people. One of my favorite days working on set was probably with Connor when we had to do the frock swap dance performance on the football field or on the soccer field. Gosh, that was great.
Are you a fan of pineapple on pizza, just as a follow-up?
Hell no. And if you got to go, actually, it's grown on me. I tried it recently.
Ramona,
So
you have no idea. Every guest that we'd ask that on this podcast says no, and I'm the only one who advocates for it. I love pineapple on pizza. I'm crazy, though, I guess.
pineapple, hell no.
Hell no. Amazing. Well, I loved kind of the characterization of both Ben and Tanner, because to me, I am a mix of both of those. Those are like my two, my conscious talking to each other. And then I'm just curious, as a student, going back to high school times to college times, what kind of student were you actually?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Connor and I were just like talking about it actually, about like, oh, what were you like? And I'm totally on the same page as you. I think I was like a mix. Like I went to a nerdy school and I was kind of nerdy, but I also ditched a lot and I didn't really care about my grades, but I was also kind of like smart. So it was a weird mix.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe it's the Asian American in me that's like, I want to do well, but I also don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, you really don't want to do well. It's other people around you that are putting that pressure on you.
Yeah, dude, I was hardcore Ben. Like, I still have three planners right now. I'm still Ben. So,
You are Ben. You are kind of Ben. I'm your Tanner
oh, amazing.
without accusing people for murder and whatnot. But
Let's go
yeah,
solve a mystery.
I
Did you? I'm curious too, because watching this, like, whenever I watch high school stuff, I always get reminded of like high school memories for me. Not super fun, but. Did you get reminded of any of like your high school experiences during this?
Probably the anxiety of the drama going around and how like crazy that is in high school and how isolated that world is. And once someone spreads like a certain rumor about someone, it's just like
Yeah.
everyone knows about it.
So fast, dude, like wildfire.
Yeah, it's tough. High school's tough.
It is tough. This kind of is like a random question, but Asian don't raisin. We all know that. How long into your career do you think you will continue playing like a college student, high school student? How long do you think we'll last in doing that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have like a couple stuff like coming out where I get to be an adult finally, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
But yeah, anytime I'll go back and forth and do whatever I feel like.
It's like our own superpower. I love that.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. With that being said, like you play so many characters that are part of this like super freaking tight-knit group of friends, dude. Like ride or die group of friends, right? So do you have any advice on, I'm 30, I don't know how to friend anymore. I just, do you have any friend advice?
Oh my gosh, I'll be your friend.
There you go.
We friends,
Plus
we can
one.
all get boba. We'll all hang out. Friend advice is, I think some of my closest friends I've met by like showing people that I'm weird because I'm kind of a strange, eclectic person, and I just wait and see who doesn't judge me for it, and then I like cling on. I'm just like, you're not leaving me now.
It's a good strategy, actually. What is it called? The dependent attachment style? I don't know, something like that. Not to get too deep, but I do want to, there's a sequence that I'm always so curious about, just like execution of like set pieces and stuff. But there's a spoiler alert, there's a section where you're escaping from Mrs. Wheeler's house, and there's all this like liquid nitrogen or like dry ice situation, and y'all are running, and some of the lighting is just really awesome in that scene. But I was wondering if you could take us back to that day on set, and like, what was it like shooting practically? Like, did you have a stunt double? Like, any kind of details you have from that moment?
We did have a stunt double on set for both for Rita, me, and Connor. I think we did most of our own stuff, and I have to say, like, I never knew how fun it was to do something kind of like scary, but it actually is, and I kind of want to do more of it now. But yeah, it was a lot of fun actually.
That's awesome. Yeah, it looked like very I don't know, like it's I would imagine that the time to shoot, how long did you guys, what were you on production for this film?
I think it was just like about a month.
That's incredible.
Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
for a full feature, it's pretty awesome. That's like not a lot of time, obviously, but yeah,
Yep.
I thought it was really fun.
Action-packed month. Do you like, are you a personal fan of horror and like dark comedy?
I am.
Oh, amazing. Oh, let's get into that. Let's get into that. Because I know, like, for me, I'm a fan of horror, dark comedy. And anytime I get to put my little fingers into a story like that, I let my freak flag fly so hard. So, how was it for you getting involved into this world?
I loved it. I don't know. It was great. Like honestly, no complaints. Like I said, like sometimes when I watch like scary movies, I'm like, oh, that person must have had so much anxiety and so much stress, like making this, you know, like you hear like the interviews from like The Shining or something. But then like being a part of it, I was like, oh, this is so cool and this is so fun. And like, oh my gosh, look at all those set pieces and props and stuff. Like I was like in an amusement park is what it felt like.
The bloopers show it too. I loved seeing, like, especially after that, like, really left turn of an ending for me. I did not see that coming, and it just took me for a ride. And then that piece of like that cherry on top of the cake with the bloopers at the end, it just made the story so much richer for me too. And just there's that the blooper with the prop hitting the car. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, but just like multiple times this prop flying out the window and hitting the car shield. I died laughing at that. That was incredible.
That was such a funny moment. It's cool too, because like I feel like films don't necessarily do that much anymore, showing you the outtakes, especially in the credits. And so like it was nostalgic to me, like going back and just like seeing that, like, because it reminded me of like, I don't know about you guys, but it reminded me of like Rush Hour, you know, like Rush Hour 2. That said, you know, like we're an AAPI focused podcast. We like to highlight different, you know, Asian creators and talent and creatives. But I'm curious about your journey because, you know, you are working, you've been in some amazing shows. And so I'm curious of what, how have you seen kind of the industry change in your perspective from when you started to now, and then how is it affecting your career?
Gosh, I feel like, you know, growing up, my family has always been like, don't do acting. There's no space for like someone who is Asian on screen. Like, you don't see that. And, you know, so like, I do have to say, like, people who cared about me try to like really talk me out of it and do something that was kind of more like safe and stable. And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, that's just like wasn't my personality, and I tried all that out. And now I'm so thankful that I didn't listen to some of the advice that I got, because I wouldn't have been here. And now, like, all of a sudden, like, there's just like a booming platform and spaces for people like us, which is amazing. And I hope that continues. Like, I feel like we're just starting.
Yeah, totally. It's always nice to see not only representation, but like people who are so good, you know. And I thought your Tanner was so enjoyable, favorite character in the film. And you know, I think I like the character that's like the man in the chair. You know what I mean? Like the nerdy person who's just like on the computer. But that said, I know Ash had a question here about hacking. Where is
Oh
the
yeah, dude. If you could hack anything, what would you hack into?
Oh my gosh. If I could hack anything, I would probably hack into some stuff with like the White House, like Area 51 type of stuff.
Oh, how juicy. That's exciting. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. I have family in Vegas, so Area 51 gets brought up way too much.
Like you know that stuff.
Exciting aliens. But with just bringing it back to what Law was talking about too, I really, really enjoyed like the subtle AAPI elements in the story. Just between you going home and the language you use, and just really subtle things that are in it. It's not like overtly in your face. There's no stereotypes. Was that written in, or were you able to kind of like work with the filmmakers to bring that to life?
I mean, I think I accredit a lot of that to like Maureen, who's also like half Indian and half white, you know, like she's very like vocal about representation. And, you know, I went to set and she was just like, yeah, like speak to your family in whatever dialect you speak with, like at home. And so I got to like bring like myself to those scenes, which is amazing.
Oh, that makes my heart so happy. Oh, that's wonderful. And it shows too. It's such like a grounded, it's just a split second, right? Like it's not a huge part of the film, but when stuff like that happens, it's what resonates with audiences. And I loved it.
Yeah,
That's
when
great.
the bowl of food with the egg on top came up, I was like, "Hey, I had something like that." I was like, "That's like me." I mean, this might be an obvious question. The movie's called The Prank, but what's like the most diabolical prank that you've ever pulled, if any?
I realized through this junket that I'm the one that gets pranked, and so like, it's not really like the other way around. But yeah, one time I had a bunch of like really close roommates slash friends who like went on my laptop and just completely spammed and like sent my laptop this really inappropriate virus. So every time I turned on my laptop, this thing would pop up and I can't speak too much on it, but it was hilarious. And I was like, what did I do? What did I click on? Why is this here constantly? Yes.
I have a feeling I know kind of the direction you're talking about, because I had some friends change the startup sound on my computer to something very inappropriate. So every time I never turn off my computer after that. I was just like, all right, I don't trust this at all.
Oh,
Yeah.
I'm so glad. I've never had that happen.
Yeah,
Law, do you want to pass the mic?
absolutely. So, Ramona, something that we do on our long form podcast is we always love, to give the talent an opportunity to use our platform to spread whatever message, whether it's promoting yourself, promoting a project, or just a message you'd love to give to young creators. But anything that you want to say, this is your now we'll give you our little soapbox. But thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me, first of all. It's always such like a wonderful opportunity to be given like a platform and a voice. I would say do what you love and do it with joy and gratitude and go watch the movie because it's as much fun as we had making it. Yeah.
It's really
And make
funny,
more indies, make more movies. Yeah. I
Yes.
Yes. I was thinking about that Oscar speech about like instead of taking $200 million risks, let's make like $45 million like movies. Like I love that message, and I really hope the industry listens, because then we get gems like this and unique movies with fun. Like I love that so much. Yeah.
Yes, completely. One last question before we wrap it up. After this junket day ends, and we're publicists too, we know like junket days get so crazy. What are you gonna do to relax after this junket day?
Ooh.
I am gonna go eat. I'm gonna go play with my dog. And yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful way to end the day.
The Tremendous Talk podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Giralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.